It is third day of interim, a rather long interim for us. All day we wonder, when will Mr. U return to podium? Are the Untermeyers, Mr. U, Mrs. U, adults on mic, pleased? If so, why? If not, why not? When next will we be asked to speak? Of what? In what flavor? We wonder avidly, though not aloud, for there may be penalty. One may be unpinioned before the eyes of the upset others and brought to a rather penalty area, here at the Untermeyers, a shed in the yard. In penalty, one sits in the dark among shovels. One may talk, but cannot speak. How could one? To enjoy the particular exhilaration of speaking, one must be pinioned to the speaking wall. Otherwise, one speaks like this, as I am speaking to you now, plain, uninspired, nothing of beauty about it. Hearing Mr. U coming down the hall, we wonder, might tonight be company? But no. Soon we find it is mere rehearsal. Mr. U's intention to jam. Ted, where are you? What are you doing? Mrs. U inquires in the angry voice from elsewhere in the house. In the listening room, he says, jamming. Oh, for Lord's sake, she says. It is a special feeling one gets when Mr. U has sent your pulse, but it has not fully arrived. Like a pre-dreaming or déjà vu is how Craig and Lauren and I have described it, on those rare occasions when, risking penalty, we have spoken among ourselves. Once the pulse is fully upon you, here will come your words, not intended by, but nevertheless flowing through you, built, as it were, upon the foundation that is you, supercharged by the pulse, molded to the chosen topic, such that if Mr. U has dialed in, say, nautical, whoever he has chosen to go first will suddenly begin speaking of things nautical in his or her own flavor, but far more compellingly than he or she could if unpinioned. Mr. U, jamming, may choose to have all of us speak of nautical simultaneously, in a whisper or quite loud, may pan right to left, from Craig to Lauren to me, per our current arrangement, each of us in turn putting his or her own spin on nautical. Tonight I feel the pre-dreaming déjà vu feeling, and then, across the slick vast field of the main deck aslant with the latest breaker, I find myself calling out, amid a positive babble of shouted voices in manifold accents and dialects, hoary hands grip and release rain-slick masts as the rain pounds crosswise, the dark wood deck veined by ancient ropes greenish with mold, beneath the booted feet racing to address a faltering knot or stay, as each lad wonders, will he live out the storm or come to claustrophobic choking end, seeking deep to expire in the watery Jones locker with the many tentacled abyss creatures of the... Even as I am speaking, I am aware of looks of pity, of commiseration from Craig and Lauren, looks that seem to say, although we are not exactly following you, good job, Jeremy, well spoken, you are clearly doing your best to speak of nautical, and if the result is somewhat vague and hard to parse, well, that is the fault of Mr. U, who apparently has set your prolixity too high. But they dare not judge me too harshly, for soon their pulses too will come. On break, we stay pinioned, resting. Our current pose, arms and legs thrown out wide, in the shape of the letter X, each of us askew at a slightly different angle, like stars or a trio of folks falling from a great height. Mr. U comes back in with a beer and some chips. I think, he says, city, a cityscape. What do you think? The penalty for speaking being perpetually in effect, we merely nod, indicating, sure, yes, city sounds good. The control board allows Mr. U to produce many shadings of speech. It is not just city of which I, again first, I happily note, now begin speaking. It is city plus sad plus summer. A dominant coloration of green-blue, city arranged north-south along a wide river. I am made to speak in short, brisk sentences. Lauren, following me, speaks also of a north-south trending river-spanning city, but plus hunger, raining, exultation, her whole past consisting of one long sentence. Craig is, city arranged east-west, white, winter, no river, overrun by cats, alternating short and long sentences, and toward the end of his pass, he begins to rhyme, or trying to rhyme, and is also speaking, or attempting to speak. Mr. Yu is attempting to get him to speak in iambic pentameter. For finale, all three of us speak of our cities at once as Mr. Yu dials in crescendo, such that afterward all three of our throats really hurt. So energetically does Mr. Yu have us speaking there at the end. Mr. Yu has been recording. He plays us a snippet, is pleased. So we are pleased. Who would not be pleased? Well, Mrs. Yu. He calls her in, plays her the snippet. "That is just some random noise, Ted," she says and walks out. We watch Mr. Yu closely. Is he peeved? Seems to be. Yet still believes in us. We can tell by his smile, which says, "Has she ever liked a piece of ours yet?" And we smile back, "Not yet." Mr. Yu climbs the stepladder to pop into each of our mouths a lozenge. Jean, the maid, comes in with three water sponges on sticks, with which she moistens our lips, and then it is dinner. And she feeds us by attaching our personal feed tubes to the tri-headed master feed tube coming out of her large jar of dining melange, then steps aside to read her book as we dine. Though sore-throated, we have elation. Interim is over. Again, we feel useful, creative, part of a team.